checking in on Japan a month after the quake.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Jeremy Hobson. Believe it or not, today marks 1 month since the huge earthquake and tsunami that struck Japan. Another big aftershock marked the occasion this morning. Marketplace's Scott Tong has been traveling around the areas that were hardest hit, and he joins us now from Tokyo with more on the rebuilding effort. Good morning, Scott.
Good morning.
Well, first of all, it sounds like there was a pretty big aftershock just today.
I was riding in the car on an elevated freeway, and suddenly the car starts doing the slalom left and right. And then after the wobbling stopped, we looked up at the light poles, and they were still wobbling as we drove by. But since everything in Japan seems designed for earthquakes, I was just assuming that the bridge was the same way. But here's the thing about what's happening in Japan. The announcer on the radio came on and said, you know, this is a 6 or a 7. And then the people in the car with me said, only a 6.
Huh.
Kind of on with the business of Japan, and you hear about that everywhere.
Now, you just got back from the place that was damaged the most by the big 9.0 quake and the resulting tsunami. Tell us what you saw there.
It's like one person described it to me before I went there. You drive down a beautiful coast, turn the corner, and there's Armageddon. Maybe 20% of the buildings in this one port city are still standing. There are commercial fishing trawlers, giant boats, dumped onto the shore like they're bath toys. But here's the good part. In the city of Sendai, half the stuff in the restaurants is already back on the menu and available. Half the convenience stores have fresh bread already. Factories that have power and are intact, they're not just making their own stuff. They're helping their suppliers or their customers to make their things so they can revive the whole industrial ecosystem. And they tell the world that manufacturing is still sound. It's still the best in the world. There are no two-headed, radiated Japanese fish swimming around. That the Japanese brand is still intact.
Marketplace's Scott Tong in Tokyo. Thanks, Scott.
You're welcome.
Well, here in this country, we can report that the federal government is open for business this morning, thanks to a deal on Friday night to cut $38 billion from this year's federal budget. Now we can all brace for a fight over the nation's debt ceiling. We're expected to reach the legal limit on how much money the government can borrow as soon as next month. Marketplace's David Brancaccio reports.
Congressional Republicans want more curbs on federal spending before they agree to raise the federal government's official credit limit. At a meeting this weekend in Bretton Woods, New Hampshire, on the future of the financial system, former Treasury Secretary Lawrence Summers says even talk about defaulting is hazardous.
The United States not meeting its debt obligations for even a single nanosecond is like a child playing with matches in a room full of dynamite.
Currently, the law says the government cannot borrow more than $14.25 trillion. If the debt ceiling isn't raised, the resulting uncertainty could drive up interest rates for government and consumers. Every few years, negotiations over the debt ceiling get down to the wire. The Treasury Department is working on a backup plan that could delay the moment of reckoning until early July. In Bretton Woods, New Hampshire, I'm David Brancaccio for Marketplace.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are down across Europe and Asia this morning. Corporate earnings season kicks off today with a quarterly report from the aluminum company Alcoa. A big question this earnings season, are corporate profits still coming largely from growth overseas? On Wall Street Friday, the Dow fell 29 points to finish the week at 12,380.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Constellation, supporting customer choice and clean, efficient energy sources and technologies, working with customers nationwide to create a sustainable energy future. Constellation.com. By Chevrolet, undertaking a carbon-reducing effort, investing in projects like wind farms and planting trees across America over the next few years. On the web at Chevy.com. And by Manta.com, providing an online destination for small businesses to be found and to find new customers. More online at Manta.com.
Oil is hovering around $112 a barrel today. Prices have jumped more than 30% since mid-February because of tensions in places like Libya. And those tensions aren't just affecting oil prices. As Christopher Worth reports, the lucrative Mediterranean bluefin tuna industry swims right through Libya.
The old seaside town of Sète is generally known in France as a charming fishing port, but it also harbors a few open secrets, namely Libyan-flagged tuna fishing vessels docked alongside its main canals.
Boat Gaddafi.
This boat is Gaddafi's, says fisherman Gambo Meraki. His boat is anchored next to two Libyan ships registered under a company believed to be controlled by the Gaddafi regime. How these Libyan boats ended up here is an interesting story. Nearly a decade ago, French tuna fishermen in Sète are said to have begun selling their boats to Libyan companies as traditional stocks of bluefin dropped and Libya developed its own tuna industry. Miriam Potter is with the French environmental group Robin Dubois. She says Libya has become a black hole for the illegal fishing of endangered bluefin tuna, and that under the deals, the French ships may fly Libyan flags, but they're still operated by the same French fishermen who sold them.
What it does is it buys the French fishermen access to waters off the coast of Libya because it's a very rich spawning ground for bluefin tuna.
Environmental groups are calling on the French government to seize those Libyan ships. But when I met up with Jean-Vier Skinepico, he had a different story about who owns the boats. Skinepico's family has one of the largest tuna fishing operations in Sète. Skinepico asked me to stop recording. Then, he told my interpreter, the boats had never actually been sold to the Libyans.
It's a kind of mutual agreement to tell the government that it's the Libyan boat, in fact it belongs to them, and then they give money to the guy who is supposed to own the ship in Libya.
When I raised this with the French ministry in charge of fisheries, it said it doesn't track whether boats have actually been paid for. But those Libyan ships may not be fishing this year at all. The European Union has called for a suspension of Libya's rights to all bluefin tuna fishing. In Sète, southern France, I'm Christopher Wirth for Marketplace.
And finally, U.S. Airways had a nice gift for its customers last week. 1,000 frequent flyer miles automatically deposited into their accounts for no reason. Generous, aren't they? Well, until this morning when those same people got an email titled, Oops, U.S. Airways made a mistake and won't be giving anyone any miles. Interesting business model. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
Fly fishermen everywhere are facing a dilemma. The feathers used for their flies are in high demand by girls who will pay anything to have them for their hair.
They were going on eBay for $100 to $150 a piece when the suggested retail price was like $36.
I'm Bob Moon. It's a feisty feather fight. Next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.